The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
On this Wednesday night, April the 4th, 2016. What a beautiful month. It is my birthday month. Yay, yay, yay me, yay me. Glad that you are here with us tonight at the Lotus Place Radio Show. And tonight, we are talking about messy Medicare and oh my, Obamacare. Oh my goodness, I just remember all of the talk about Obamacare, and people were complaining about Obamacare, and, you know, us that were like, those of us that were pushing for like the free health care and single payer care and all of that, we were like, oh no, he's trying to do a good job with this Obamacare. Oh, it's going to be a great thing. We'll all have health care, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it started out into this whole, you know, single payer deal. And next thing you know, it's like, hell, if you don't have insurance, then we're going to charge your ass. Well, goddamn it. If I could afford the insurance in the first place or wanted it, then I would get it. So now you can tell me if I don't pay for what you tell me I have to pay for.
Right.
And, you know, needless to say that you're violating all my rights. Okay.
Hello.
What if I just want to use alternative health care? What if I don't believe in your doctors and your medicine and your killer hospitals?
Yes.
What if I just, you know, want to change my diet, eat fresh fruit, and exercise, yoga, meditate? What if I just want to take on and have a massage, regular massages, chiropractor perhaps? You know, what if I want alternative medicine? You know, so does your Obamacare cover that? Or can I just seek that out and just have it? Why is it not available anyway? Because those types of things are proven to produce good health results. So those actions are proven to produce good health results. So why isn't it just available to people? You know, Cuba has one of the best healthcare plans or healthcare standards in the world, Cuba, where you can go to medical school for free, okay, and become a doctor. There are plenty of Black people here in the States that are going over to Cuba, studying to be a doctor, and they are being highly sought out around the world. So if people in Cuba, if people in New Zealand, I want to say Iraq, so many places, I'll pull my list up before the end of the night. If these people can have free healthcare, why do we have to go through all of this foolery with this messy Medicaid, Medicare, Obamacare, and all of that? So we will have our elder, I hope they stop with that rattling, though. We will have Feather come in and talk about messy Medicare, what the seniors have to experience when it's time to select Medicare, Medicaid, and all of this crap, and this Obamacare, and the expense, the new charges that some of our seniors are facing. It's bad enough we were already hearing that you would have to pay, well, people couldn't afford or had to make a choice between purchasing medicine or food. And so now you have this added expense. It's ridiculous. I mean, why do we even treat our seniors like that? Why can't our seniors even just have, like, tax-free living, free housing? Because, I mean, you lived all your life paying. So shouldn't we give back to the seniors in their golden years? Why do you get kicked off of your life insurance plan? So things like that. So we want to dig in to that topic for tonight, as well as picking back up on our exposing environmental justice, and also hot topics, community, political, social justice news. You know, it's all on the table tonight. Gotta say, Bernie Sanders won Wisconsin last night. Ted Cruz won on the Republican side. And even though I could really care less about either one of those camps, I am glad to see that Bernie won in Wisconsin. Speaking of which, I do want to share this clip before we get into our topic on Rosario Dawson, who has been a big supporter of Bernie Sanders in Brooklyn. So she said she's been involved in voter registration for about the past 11 years. And so she speaks about why she is supporting Bernie Sanders. And then we also have some questions on the table. Are you pro-life or pro-choice? So are you pro-life or pro-choice? And tell us why. And will you vote? A lot of young people are saying that they don't know if they're going to vote. And not just young people. I've been hearing some other people say this. They just don't know if they're going to vote this year. And if they do vote, they may just vote Green Party. And do you want to travel to Cuba? Since the embargo has been lifted, many people are planning to go to Cuba. So do you think you may make a trip over there? Talking about black travel. And then our last question, which I would love to hear from some answers from people. Do black people care enough for themselves and others in order to really make a change? Do black people care enough for themselves and others in order to really make a change? Because we can talk. I know I can really do some talking. But we can talk about what people should be doing, what we're doing, and this and that. But is it really geared towards making a real change? And do we really care to really take those steps that some people are taking to make the change? So, those are our questions on the table tonight. We hope that you call in to 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549-032. So, we want you to call in and share with us. And in the meantime, I want to share this clip with you from Rosario Dawson. Let's see. Let me pull it up. And here we are. It's a revolution. And this is something that many of the young people are saying. It's time. And that's Bernie Sanders' slogan, something about it. We need a revolution.
About why you're supporting Bernie
Political
Sanders.
Revolution.
I'm supporting Bernie Sanders because he says no to fracking. I'm supporting Bernie Sanders because we do need a single-payer health care system. That's
muted.
Everyone, and that is not a pipe dream. That's something that's happening all over the world in really positive ways. We are a social democracy. That's our firefighters. That's our policemen. And it shouldn't be drawn a line. That, you know, firemen will go into your house to take your hard drive out and save your cat. But if you break your leg, screw you. It doesn't make any sense. You know, when you actually go and you travel around the world and you start recognizing that people can actually be sick, they can take, you know, have a broken leg and not lose their job and lose their livelihoods and lose their homes over it. That's really important. You know, free college, universities, that's a really, really big deal. People shouldn't be thinking about that for the rest of their life. they're going to be having these deals. Because I'm looking at people who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who are still paying off their student loans. That's crazy. You know, like how are we supposed to compete in the economy as it's moving forward? The world, we're being replaced by robots. Like, we're not going to be globally competitive if we're not making sure people are getting the education that they need.
And why do you think Bernie Sanders can solve these issues in a way that Hillary Clinton can't?
The reason why Bernie can do that is because it's a revolution. And the revolution is all of us being a part of that conversation. It's not going, someone's going to go into office and just go, great, I took it from here. But actually inspiring people to come and take off. Because, you know, when you see what Black Lives Matter is doing with Vianita, when you see people like Nina Turner coming up and Tulsi Gabbard and all of these other people, this idea that, you know, this has to be the only person, this only woman. No, I don't want to vote for someone who said yes to the Iraq War and yes to the Patriot Act twice. I don't want to support someone who said yes to NAFTA up until 2008 when Obama even called her out on it because she was running for presidency. He was saying, yeah, the gold standard of TPP deal, but, you know, it's exactly what she's going to do when she goes into the office and sign it. This is not okay. Profits for prisons, and now actually profits for the rehabilitation centers, because the same people who own those private prisons are also the same people who own the detention centers and for the undocumented who are going in there. And it's not just undocumented people. People are going in and thrown in there who are green cards, all types. I mean, there's a real serious problem that's going on right now and has been going on for a long time. And someone, for someone like her to be talking about that she cares but hasn't done anything really about it is really shocking to me, you know, and really even admitting and talking about how her policies were so devastating for people, you know.
And what,
like,
what about the TV networks that say that Bernie Sanders can't get the support of communities of color?
Well, that's obviously ridiculous, you know, and that's obvious. But again, like, I mean, you got to really look at the fact that these companies and their parent companies are the ones who have, you know, they're dependent on fossil fuel and pharmaceutical companies putting the commercials around them. You know, they're dependent on, you know, all of, you know, they're, this is about people making money and lobbyists. This is not about us.
Can you talk about what you're doing tomorrow night, the forum you're having in Harlem? Are you doing it with Michelle Alexander?
Yes. So I wanted to put together, actually, I was talking to Eve Ensler about it, and we just came up with this idea of talking about just women and what we have to talk about in policies and politics. And so I wanted to round up particularly a couple of women who are definitely Bernie supporters, but not necessarily everybody. But we're going to have Michelle Alexander, who wrote The New Jim Crow, Tessa Thompson, who is in Dear White People, Donna Hilton, who was incarcerated for 23 years and can really talk to these issues and, like, give people information. Because the one thing I keep finding is people who are supportive of the other candidates tend to do so with these really broad sort of ideas as to why. And so as soon as you go, well, why, and you challenge them, they don't really have the facts to back it up. And I really feel like there's a possibility of, especially undecided voters, giving them the information that they actually need that a lot of the group mass media is not giving them, because he's, you know, and he doesn't have the benefit of super PACs or being a household name or a brand name, you know, so he just has us and he has his message that has been consistent for decades. And so now, because of social media, the difference between him and Obama, like, you know, that Twitter only just had its 10th anniversary of existence. You know, like, there, he had a mass movement behind him, but, you know, people can tell you at 2 months in, they were disenchanted because he closed the door and started trying to reach across the aisle with people who have been calling him a terrorist for years, you know, like, and so he lost the House and the Senate and all these different things. And that's when the obstructionism came. It wasn't that he walked into it like that. And so, you know, and I think it's really, this is someone who's got, understands that, whose momentum is solely built off of the online space. And so we know, because he's been consistent his entire career, that he's not going to make an about face when he gets into the Oval Office, that he's going to stay true to his promises, because he's doing so right now. The desire and need to want to be president and do the things that he can do has got to be really so intense. And he must really want to be able to say yes, please, from companies that are good companies, say, please give me some money. But he still says no, because he wants the people to get him there. He wants all of us to win the presidency, and that's why I'm behind him.
And Rosario Dawson, your thoughts on Donald Trump, both saying originally, just a few days ago, saying that women should be jailed for having abortions. He's walked it back a little, saying that the doctors who give them abortions should be punished.
That's already happening, unfortunately. You know, I think that's one of the sort of red herrings of fallacies about Trump, is that he somehow is making up the divisiveness, that he's somehow creating it, when that's just not true. This has been going on for a long time. Black Lives Matter, the Dreamer movement, exists for a reason. This has been going on in our streets for a really, really long time. And he's been calling Obama out as being a dreamer for years. And that didn't start with him. That started when a picture of Obama with a turban came out of the Hillary Clinton camp. you know? And so, like, there's a real reality about there's been dirty politics and things that have been going on for a very long time, and they get out of hand. And now you have people like Lindsey Graham going, I support Ted Cruz, which you know he would never want to do because the Republican Party and the Democratic Party have really lost touch with the people on the ground.
And what about Donald Trump having trouble disavowing David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan and then retweeting Benito Mussolini, the fascist dictator of Italy?
Well, I mean, again, you're talking about someone who is dividing the country, who's been doing that for a really long time. The fact that he was never brought his feet to fire by going, hey, if you really think that the president is not legally capable of being the president, I wonder if he would have had as much to say about McCain having been born in Panama. But, you know, I really think it's really striking that no one called him out on that. So now you want to be the president of the country that you believe could have hired someone for the job who wasn't legally capable of doing it. Like, so I think there's a lot of insanity. But again, like, he isn't the problem. He hasn't been the problem. There's a lot of stuff that's been going on for many, many years that have gotten out of control, and now he represents that problem. And I think now we're finally dealing with it. You know, there are a lot of people who follow him who are so grateful to be able to have the chance maybe they speak again. They're like, yes, you know, this guy is talking to us, and he's giving us permission because, you know what, we've had this insane level of political correctness that has been glossing over the fact that things aren't politically correct, that things are really devastating for a lot of people, black, white, brown, male, female, different religions, all of it. And we've been pretending like somehow we've broken through the ceiling, the glass ceiling for women, that because we have a president named Barack Hussein Obama, that's we're no longer racist. And that's just not true. So I think what we really have to talk about is not exactly what he's saying individually, but what he represents. And the fact that a lot of people behind him feel that way. And what are we going to do about that? Let's try to get Bernie on, and the more opportunity he has to talk to the people and not get the facts obfuscated or misconstrued by the mass media that has been happening. I mean, the time that I watch him on these other shows and then watch them right after and start rolling their eyes like, well, did you hear? I'm like, no, that's not what he said. And because people are busy, they're taking advantage of the fact, like, this is something I understand because I'm an actor. So we're constantly trying to put out this new movie's coming out, this new thing, whatever is coming out. Will you come and watch it? And we're trying to razzle dazzle you to pay attention in the midst of your busy lives. What's happening with the corporate media is they're abusing the fact that they know that you're busy with your lives. And so they're hoping that you miss the debate and that you miss all this stuff so that their summary is what you walk away with. And it's wrong. And it's yellow journalism, and you're misleading people, and you're going to have that on your hands. The Iraq war that they sold you, that's blood on your hands. Like, this is the reality. You cannot be selling us someone who voted yes on it and take no responsibility. That is not okay. And so that's why I'm here and trying to do what I can, because it's not about making anyone feel better. It's like Louis Guzman was saying, if you just took away their brand name and you took away, you know, their faces and just listened to what they had to say, who would you vote for? Very clear. That is Bernie Sanders. Very clear. So that's what we have to do, is keep giving people that information, because when I see people are voting against themselves, I'm telling you, you are. Because I'm actually looking at this information and I'm watching people do it. So if you have real substantive reasons why you want to support your candidate, then great, bring that to the table. But that's not what I've been hearing, and that's what I'm trying to give people.
And now, what do you think Bernie Sanders' path to the presidency is right now?
This is it. You know, I'm seeing a lot of people already going and starting to, you know, talk to their superdelegates and talk to these different people and going, hey, like, this is not okay. You know, this is what happened. What happened was Hillary lost in 2008 because of her Iraq war vote. And she lost because a lot of election politics that went on that left a really sour taste in people's mouths. And she lost because of the delegates. And so rather than go, let's take that out of the system, she just started to work for it and started to get them on her side. And she started, before the primaries, having over like 400 delegates pledged to her. That is not okay, you know? And so I think that this is our moment right now. People are starting to wake up to what our election process looks like. We are not a democracy, even though we keep trying to push that colonially all around the world. What we are is a republic. And so if we want it to be a democracy, we need to hire someone for the job who's going to actually want to make that happen so that we can have the voter day, you know, the election day be a holiday, so that we can have mandatory and like automatic voter registration, so that we can maybe start being about an electoral college. That's great. But right now, the powers that be, establishment politicians and politics, they don't want that to happen. I can tell you, I've done voter registration for over 11 years. I have to say, like, the one thing I've noticed is, you know, the millionaires and the billionaires that we sat down with, they didn't want to give us money for voter registration or any of the other places. They want to give you money for the candidates, and they just want to give you money for the get out the vote. They want to know that the few amount of people that are voting that they can persuade one way or the other.
Right.
They don't want all you new young voters because they don't know, that's too risky. They don't know what you're going to do.
I mean, in these primaries, more than 80% of the people are not voting.
Yeah. And it's crazy, you know, and what we're seeing, like, record numbers of voter registration also happening. And part of it's responsible people wanting to vote against Trump. And a lot of it's responsible because people want to get their chance to vote for the first time for Bernie Sanders.
Who do you think would beat Donald Trump?
It's not a question. This, again, like, even that kind of question, like, already across the polls, Bernie beats him by a landslide. So, again, it's a red herring. It's a false narrative to think that the only way to beat Trump is to somehow vote for the other Democratic candidate. That's not true. And now we're not in the general election. He doesn't have the nomination yet. So stop jumping us into the past, into the future. Right now we're in our present, and we get to vote for someone who has values that we believe in and who supports us in the way that he needs us to support him. And, like, that's actually a really beautiful thing. Like, millions of people marched against the Iraq War before it happened. That's historical. Millions of people marched against the bailout. Millions of people, students, walked out in 2006 against immigration reform. They texted each other and walked out of their high school classrooms. Like, we keep seeing these mass movements of people going, this is not the way things should be done, and it gets ignored. The thousands of people who've been marching across America for Bernie that doesn't get any press coverage. Because Gil Scott-Heron said the revolution will not be televised. But it's time for it to be televised, and thank you so much for televising it, because we need people to know how beautiful this moment is. No matter what, look at this. This is incredible. And we have a Jewish man who's talking about Palestine. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a really, really remarkable, huge moment, and we cannot gloss it over. You're doing a disservice to people by doing so. This is something really beautiful. I'm doing this because love trumps hate. Not because I need to vote against somebody, but because love trumps hate. This is a love movement.
This is a love movement. I love it.
Love movement. That was great.
Movement. Yes, that was great. That was Rosario Dawson. She's played in a ton of films. Some of Spike Lee's. She's been on some pilots that come on. Are you guys familiar with Rosario Dawson? I think she's like a Puerto Rican looking sister.
I've seen her. I mean, I've heard her name, and I need to just see her face, like, quick.
Yeah, when you see her face, you'll definitely know her. A few things that she mentioned in there, and then we'll bring in Delta Cougar with her hot topic.
Oh yeah, okay. I remember her.
Yeah, like universal health care. I mean, like I said, I loved when Obama was pushing for the universal health care, and then it just morphed into this Obamacare crap. But 58 countries have universal health care. Now, we're supposed to be the leader of the free world. Why aren't we leading in that area? 58 other countries have universal health care. 11 other countries have universal health care in addition to free college tuition.
Wow. 50? Wow. Mm-hmm. We're supposed 11, to be the leading free world country.
11 countries have universal health care, which is free health care, and college. Free health care and free college. 58
right.
have universal health care. And then why isn't it that Election Day could be a holiday? I mean, I've heard other people say that before, and same day
right.
registration. Why don't you register, you know, 30 days prior to, and all of this? I mean, with all the technology, I mean, we can film each other, we can talk to each other over the computer, over the phone, and all that, but you can't figure out a way that we can diminish the time at the DMV to get your damn license. And voter registration crap. You know,
right.
it doesn't make sense.
Well, they can do it.
But I've been trying to make a few improvements though with DMV and all of that, because I know here in Texas you don't have to go through that extra vehicle inspection crap that we used to have to go through in Tennessee. But I think even Tennessee eradicated a little bit of that. I don't think they have to go like, you know, in Memphis on Lamar and go through that whole inspection line and all of that. I don't think you have to do all of that anymore. I know Texas just changed the steps last legislative session. But, I mean, being able to vote on the same day that you register, that would be a great event for people. So those are some things to think about. But we can come back to that. Delta, do you have some hot topics for us?
Yeah. How everybody doing?
Pretty good. I'm well. And you?
Good.
Yeah. Can I say something about healthcare right quick, y'all, if you don't mind? Or you want me to do my hot topic? I was thinking, I saw an interview on 2020. Y'all know I'm always looking. And 2020 did a thing in Mexico. Now, y'all know Mexico is supposed to be one of the poorest countries. But if you get on your computer and look, Mexico have a lot of top doctors, and they have free health care for the whole country. Then on top of that, a lot of the people, they showed on 2020, a lot of retired people, like they was doing like knee replacement, and like a knee replacement here would cost you over like $75,000 or $65,000. You go to Mexico, you get a knee replacement, and they do the same identical thing, and you get it done for about $10,000 or $5,000. So that shows you it can be done. But the reason why they don't want it done, because everybody is making money in America. They are getting rich off the back of poor people. And can I give you another example? Remember when the guy had, when that was an AIDS drug he raised, that it wasn't no more than like $3 or $4, this pill. Remember y'all a while back, this man took this pill. It was no more than $5 or $10, and then the man raised the prescription to $5,000. Remember, because he knew the people had to have it for aid, and then they turned around, and it was such a backlash. The man raised the pill back down. I know Aja good with the computer; she can look that up and find. I ain't telling you to, Aja, but I know you good by googling, and that's something to think about. That man, he was making money already off of $5 or $6, but he raised it up 150%.
Wow. And this was a pill for AIDS?
Yeah, it must have been for AIDS, yeah. And, they arrested him eventually. He was so ashamed. It was a young white man, bought a company. He wasn't no more than like 30 years old, he bought this company. When he bought the company, the other people were selling the medicine for real cheap, no more than like maybe $10 or whatever. But the man knew the people had to have this medicine for AIDS. This man raised this medicine up, and he jumped it up to 150%. So, I can't remember his name, but he just got arrested. But they
About that little crazy man, that the young,
the little crazy
young,
white boy. Yeah.
Oh God, I can't think of his name either. But yeah, he raised. It wasn't just the AIDS medication. It was also like the breast cancer medication. He raised it like 300%. So a lot of people were out.
He raised it, but he was making money. He was making money, but he felt because these people had to have it.
Yeah, well, and he actually, what he said is that the board, the shareholders, expected for him to make a profit. So in order for them to make a profit, he had to raise the drug. They were just, like you said, it was all about the money.
It was all in cahoots together.
About the money. They didn't care about
but
yeah,
they
all
said he was the one pushed the issue because
That's the thing. He said he had to do it because the shareholders told him he had to make a certain amount of profit for them. I mean, that's the pharmaceutical business. That's the industry, right?
It sure is.
They have enough money in accounts to where they can pay out lawsuits because they know some people are going to die. They know people will die. So they already have millions and millions and millions of dollars set aside for these lawsuits. And that's a shame, because this medication, first of all, especially us indigenous people, if you left us in our areas and territories where we had the plant and the herbs, we wouldn't even have to pay for no damn Obamacare, Medicaid, none of this foolishness. None of this mess.
When you said Obamacare, you made me think about something. And I know I'm supposed to be giving my high time, but listen, on that Obamacare, I had talked to a representative.
Wait a minute, hold on, Delta. Delta, just hold that thought until we come back from a break. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back. Give us your hot topic so we can move on into
I'll get a hot topic when we come back. Okay.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Okay, now Delta,
I had called them about some insurance, and one guy told me that it was going to be $273 just for me a month. And so, to me, that was kind of high. And then I went to talking to my brother about it, and my brother, he makes more than me. And my brother says, my plan ain't but $117. Then he said, call this other agent. They have different agents. So I called my brother agent. My brother agent, where the other agent that I had was going to sell it to me for $273. Then another man told me that he could sell it to me for $91 a month. So they make commissions off of this. And they are raising the rate on a lot of this stuff. They have about he told me they have over 500 plans, different types of insurance companies. So they get commissions off of this. And this is why they selling this stuff high. But you got to check around with another agent. So they are racking the price up in order because the agent get a commission. But if you go straight through the Obama thing, the agent is not supposed to get no commission. I do know that much. Now, let me go right on into my hot topic. Okay, coming out of Detroit, this man, the police went to his house to serve a arrest warrant for a credit card fraud. But when they got there, Robert Leonard was not there. That is the man's name. He was not there. And when they went there, the police, someone answered the door, and they came inside the house to search for the man. When they walked inside of the house, the police said they could not believe what they were seeing. It was a house of horror. They said they did not expect this. When they got there, it was three women there. It was a black guy. He had three wives, y'all. He had one wife chained to a pole in the middle of the floor. And the lady was so physically abused. They had three or four kids there. They was even, and some of the kids belongs to him. They confiscated a a bunch of pictures, and he had been incesting some of his own kids. But this is a black man. You don't normally find this too much. But he had three wives.
Don't normally find what too much?
When I was coming up, never heard about black men. They would always say molesting. They would always say the white men was molesting. You know, that's what I always heard.
I was just reading an article. It may have been a tweet or something. How someone stated that you'll find more people. Let me get it right. You'll find more people calling out a gay person in their family before they call out the sexual predator in the family. Yeah, I believe it was a tweet or something I read somewhere. But you know what? And I find it to be true because
I believe that. I believe that, Texas.
Yeah, in black families, yeah, we'll talk about him being gay. But we won't talk about him sitting up messing with everybody. You know,
yeah,
uncle, whatever.
Absolutely correct. I agree with you on that.
And we kind of touched on that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so go ahead.
So what happened was they said three women were physically abused. They were just living in a house of horror, the way he had them chained all up in the house. And this man was no more than 40. And he had these women, and he was quoting this sovereign law. You know how he don't answer to nobody in America? Sovereign law.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to court after they arrested him and tried to quote that sovereign law. And they told him he sounded like a fool. He must be crazy. So they said he didn't pay no taxes, no nothing. He believed that he could do what he wants. Because he was living under a sovereign law. Okay, then we got a case right here in my hometown. Well, not my hometown, my state, Mississippi. It was up in Clarksdale, Mississippi. I think that's where it was. A 40-year-old woman. And the husband is 37. And they was in Clarksdale, Mississippi. They lived in a RV park, and they had like a big RV or a mobile home. So what they did, the man that owned the RV park called the black lady. I mean the lady. The man is black, but the wife is, she says she's Indian and Puerto Rican, but she kind of looked white. But she said that man from the RV park called her and told her that the people was upset. They didn't want them in the RV park. We did not know that he was married to a black man. By the way you talk, the man said, she said, the man said the way you talk and the way you carried yourself. So we did not know. We did not know that if you had been married to a black man, you couldn't move him. Said the members of the church said that they don't allow shacking. She said, I'm not shacking. She said, that's my husband, and we've been married, you know, for an extended, you know, a long period of time. She said, my husband goes overseas and fight for his country and been in the National Guard for 13 years. But yet he come back here, and the color of his skin, they are being harassed in America and couldn't live in a RV park. So he went to telling her that she was too good to be with the black man.
Oh, wow.
And they don't allow
what the pastor mixing. Said?
The pastor, he said that the people and the pastor of his church didn't want no niggas up in the RV park.
And you said that's down in Mississippi?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
I put it on your Facebook page. I sent it to you.
Yeah. Mississippi.
In this day and time.
And then the crooked NAACP, and I call them crooked because they ain't about a quarter. They jumped up and told me they're going to fight for them. We'll see how they're gonna fight.
Oh, the couple.
The young couple.
Oh, okay. That'll be interesting.
And those are my hot topics for today.
Thank you so much, Delta. Thank you for those hot topics.
And Aisha Hyde is on the line.
Yeah, Aisha Hyde is on the line. And Brother Brown is on the line.
Oh.
Yeah, and we are getting ready to jump right on into. Wait a minute. Let's see. Who is there with the noise? Let's see
what's the comment. Okay, I'll put mine on mute. That's not me, though, but I'll put mine on mute.
Let's see. Oh, I know. I accidentally opened up the wrong mic there. All right. And so tonight we are talking about Bring It To Us, Aja, Messi, Medicaid, and Obamacare. And also, we're picking up on our topic from Sunday night, environmental racism, and our questions on the table. Let me just give out the phone number, too, before we get started. 641-715-3662 is the number, and the participant code is 549032. Press pound, and then press star 61 if you would like to share a comment. Okay, so what do you have for us on this messy Medicaid?
Now this is just my experience with Medicaid and the healthcare, affordable healthcare / Obamacare. So someone else's experience may be different, but I wanted our listening audience to know how seniors are treated once you reach a certain age. Okay. So the tax rate currently, most workers pay $1.45% of their earnings, 1.45% of their earnings, into the Medicare, I call it trust fund, because this is money that you're putting into Medicare, and your company that you're working for, they pay a matching 1.45% per employee. So this is money that's being put away for you when you can no longer work that will cover your health. Okay? So self-employed workers, they pay 2.9% because they're not working for a company, so they have to put in a little bit more into this quote-unquote trust fund. So they're holding it for you. They're holding it for you until you are ready to use it. And it's like a we'll take care of you kind of thing, you know. So beginning in 2013, the Affordable Health Care Act enacted an additional Medicare tax equal to 0.9% of earnings for people who make over $200,000. Now, you remember that big to do that they had, this went on for months and months, about people who make a certain amount of money, they were going to have to pay more taxes. And some people were saying, well, it could be couples, they could have their own business, and why should they be, you know, penalized? So that's this money here. This money, that money that they were talking about was supposed to go in for Medicare for people when they reach a certain age, okay? A lot of us weren't affected because we didn't fit into that mold. So Medicare, when you reach 65, you must sign up for Medicare. You're automatically enrolled unless you are receiving insurance with your job. You're still working. A lot of people still working at 65. They don't want to quit. Or they're getting their spouse's insurance. But if neither one of those things are happening, you must enroll, and you're automatically enrolled into Medicare. Even if you have state insurance, like Texas here, Texas has a health insurance. It's based on your income, and it's called Gold Card. Wonderful program. There's so many people here from other countries that Texas has wonderful plans and programs to help people. So if you're in the know, you know somebody, you find out about it. It's not broadcast, but I got in on this gold card program because I refused to work full-time once I got here. So the gold card program, I didn't have to pay anything, nothing, you know, nothing. I just pay for copay when I go see the doctor. I didn't have to pay for any drugs whatsoever. Not that I needed many, but that's the program. So,
Let me ask you a question there. So, now, you said when you turn 65, you automatically enroll into Medicare.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And even if
you have put in this money, and they're saying, okay, we're going to take care of you now.
Okay. And so now, before you turn 65, you were on the Texas Gold Card plan. And so, like, what was your average copay?
$10.
Okay.
$10 mm-hmm. For regular, just a regular visit to the doctor, $20 for a dental, and also for vision. But the lab work, X-rays. I had a headache for like a year, and so I had CT scan. I went to a neurologist. You know, it's very difficult to see a little neurologist. You got to be darned and dying, you know. So she couldn't figure out why I was having these headaches, and I was only paying her $10 each time I went to visit. I only paid $10. I think I paid $20. For the neurologist. So that's what the gold card consisted of. When I went to get my medicine, they would say, this will be $8. And I'll say, can you bill me, please? And they said, oh, sure, of course. Of course, I never got a bill and I never paid. So with the Affordable Health Care Act, it forced everyone to pay for insurance, and I was dropped from gold card. Now, I'm not even 65 yet, but I'm talking about the Affordable Health Care Act, how it is affecting people. It started out to be such a wonderful thing, like, oh, we're going to give you free insurance. We want to make sure everyone can get to see the doctor and not be turned away. But it is not what it appears, or not what it started out to be. Because I had insurance that I did not have to pay for, because mm-hmm. I fit into a mold here in Texas that my insurance would be taken care of because I wasn't working full time. So they just sent me this letter and said, by February 29th, we're dropping you and you're going to have to find some more insurance. And if you don't, you will be penalized $614.
$614.
Yes, okay. If you don't find something within 3 months after you are dropped, you will be penalized they made sure that they said that, a minimum of $614.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's the minimum.
Yes, okay. That's the minimum. Okay. Mm. All right, now let's get back to the Medicare, okay? Now, for Medicare, as I said, when you turn 65, they automatically enroll you in Medicare, and what Medicare is paying is only part of the medical insurance that you need. You have to pay the rest. And the price keeps going up. Like, they automatically charge you. Last year, it was $104. As of 2016, it went up to $127. Mind you, when it came to considering whether to give seniors who receive Social Security a little raise, you know, they give them one every few years, like $20. They decided they wouldn't give seniors a raise in Social Security because, guess what? The gas prices were down so low, and the seniors really didn't need any more money because seniors probably drive themselves wherever they want to go anyway, and this gas price reduction is really helping them. So, no, they don't need a raise, but they raise the insurance for the Medicare, $26. It doesn't make sense. These are the same groups of people, okay? So, and of course, the retirement age keeps going up. It used to be 65. For baby boomers like me, I barely made it. But for others, it's going to go up to 67. So the way it is figured, check this out, is that with the non-healthy diets that people are, you know, eating, you got a group of people who are coming around starting to eat better. But for this other group, with the non-healthy diets, the toxic chemicals, the genetically modified foods that's, you know, out on the shelf now by the government, new laws and standards, they don't have to tell you that this is not real food anymore. Other countries, yeah, they have to let the people know, you know, hey, this is not real food. But here in this country, no, they just passed the law. They don't have to tell us anything. So that and the drugs that they prescribe, that are prescribed by the doctors who are working, of course, with the pharmaceutical companies, and they're treating all these people who are getting sick from all this food and stuff that they're eating, well, they probably won't get old enough to even use a little trust fund that they've been working so hard for. Or they'll be so sick that they'll have to pay more and more for their insurance. So this is how it works. They got part A, B, C, D, and E. It's so confusing for the seniors. Part A. Well,
it was confusing for me when I had to take that life insurance course. And just trying to understand that crap, I couldn't understand. I mean, it's just too many moving parts to it for me.
It's too many moving parts. Why don't they just offer the seniors a straight-up insurance plan? You pay this amount of money. It will cover you going being in the hospital, because you know they're going to have to go to the hospital, especially if they haven't been taking care of themselves. They're going to have to see the doctor to go and get their checkups and get their prescriptions filled. They're going to have periodic tests, you know, lab work, blood work, things like that. And they need their drugs. So why are all of these four things under one umbrella? But Medicare has them all split. They're all split. They have one, part A takes care of you being in hospital. Part B takes care of you going to the doctor. Part C, that takes care of, if you don't want to use their Medicare plan, you can use Humana or somebody else who's offering you really the same thing as Medicare, but you don't have to pay quite as much out of your pocket, but it's the same thing that Medicare is charging, and then it covers the drugs. Because Medicare doesn't cover the drugs. You have to go to Plan D if you want the drugs with Medicare. And then you got Plan E. That's for people who are really, really sick and who really didn't take care of their bodies as they were growing up and in their 40s and what have you. So they have to take a lot of drugs because they got something serious, you know, where they take real expensive medicine. They have to maybe get dialysis or something like that. So they're gonna fall into what they call the donut hole or the donut gap. That means that you're gonna need so much medicine that you're gonna go over the Medicare plan that you can only have so much medicine. So you're gonna fall into what's called the donut gap, and you're gonna pay a lot of money for your medicine until you can work your way out of the donut gap. And then we'll put you back up here with the regular folks in Plan D. It is so confusing. Or you can bypass all of that, and then you can get you some extra insurance with Humana or United Healthcare or or some of those people, but they may allow you to get more drugs with them. It's so convenient for the insurance companies, because at one time I do remember my mother. I remember when she started talking about A, B, C, D, and all of that. They just started the donut gap thing. Those people started getting really sick. But it used to be that Medicare just took out one payment out of your Social Security and they covered you totally. You didn't have to pay, anything else. But now they have it fixed. So Medicare is working with the other insurance companies like Humana and Blue Cross Blue Shield. Medicare will tell us, okay, this is the insurance that we offer you because you paid into your trust fund while you were working and holding down a job. But we're only going to pay 80% of that. You're going to have to pay the 20%. Plus, you're going to have to get another plan to get some drugs if you need drugs. But if you like, you can go to Humana or United Healthcare because they sponsor Medicare. You know, they sponsor Medicare and they have a better plan than we do. And theirs includes drugs. And they'll charge you the same thing that we're charging, $126. So think about it and let us know what you decide. That's how we have to do. That's how they treat the seniors once they reach 65. I am actually going to have to pay more money for my insurance once I reach 65 than I do now and than I did before Obamacare came into plan, which was nothing. So you really, really, really need to take care of your body because it is going up. It is going up. It goes up every few years. And it's really, really hard on people who have to take a lot of medicine. They really penalize you for growing old and being sickly.
And I think that this is terrible because that's when people should be, that's when I believe the country should give back to the people
right.
that have put in so much work, time, taxes into
right.
a country and being a citizen. So why do you penalize them? I don't get that. So, Brother Brown.
Why should they even have to pay it all?
Why should they even have to pay it all? So
yeah, what was the trust fund for?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think it's terrible. Come on, seniors. Hello. Hello, seniors. Are you guys on this Medicare plan?
Yeah.
Brown, what's your lifestyle like? What's your plan?
I get Medicare AMD.
Okay. And so how did you decide on Medicare A and B?
Well, because Medicare A is hospitalization. You're automatically entitled to that if you get Social Security. They take
right.
it from off. And that's free.
Yeah, that's your trust fund. That's the money you've been putting in that they, you know, have been taking out all these years. It's really not free.
Let me finish. Okay, because I've been getting this for a minute. I retired on disability. But I had to have a supplemental insurance, which I came out of my job because I retired from a union, which I don't pay for my insurance. So in order to get Medicare A and B, my prescription, my eyeglasses, my dental work, all that stuff is covered through my health plan with my job.
Okay.
So I don't have to get Medicare C and D. That doesn't apply to me.
Do you have to pay anything at all?
I pay for Medicare B out of my Social Security check. But I don't pay
right.
for
how much is how much is that?
I think they take out like I think it's $80 or something like that they take a month. But I don't have any
money. Do you have it through the government Medicare or do you have it through one of the supplemental plans?
I have Medicare A and B through the government.
Okay. Medicare's cost for anybody, A and B, is $126 starting 2016.
Okay, well, I mean, but it covers all of my, but it covers everything. It covers all of my bills.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to the hospital right now, I have Medicare A and B. Then what they don't pay, my other insurance pays, so I always end up with zero bill.
Right. So your case is different because you're still getting something from a job, right? So a lot of people, as they get older, they're not getting anything from a job. Plus, you're still having to pay that $126. And what I was saying, I don't feel like we should even have to pay the $126. I mean, it's coming out of your Social Security, but, you know, it still should come to you, I think.
Why
do we have to pay for that?
Well, because I realize what you're saying, but that's not how it works in America.
A what?
I realize what you're saying, but that's not how it works in America because, number one, the healthcare industry is the most crooked industry in America.
I understand. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know that's how it works, but I'm saying it shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't penalize our seniors they're doing.
And I agree with you, but there's nothing going to change that. You know, I don't think nobody should be paying. When they said they were going to socialize medicine, and I'm going to give you an example. In 1974, I was in England. I was working for the federal government, and I was on a ship. I was a merchant seaman, and I was in England. And that was the first time that I witnessed socialized medicine. I went to the hospital. I had got sick. I had an accident out there in the street, and they took me to the hospital. I went to the emergency room. And they gave me medication. They took care of my whatever I had wrong with me. So at the end of my visit, I went, and I wasn't even a citizen of England.
Brother Brown, I hate to cut you off right there, but we missed our break. So let's just take a quick break, and we'll come right back, picking up on our messy Medicare and affordable.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, and we're back here at the Lotus Place, and you can call in and share your comments or thoughts as we talk about messy Medicare and Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act, prison, school-to-prison pipeline, and environmental racism. And we also have some questions on the table. Are you pro-life, pro-choice? Which one are you? Which side are you on? Do you want to travel to Cuba, and will you vote this year? Brother Brown, you're going to write in, who you say you always write in, Malcolm X? Will you
Malcolm
vote this year?
I don't vote.
Uh-huh.
You
say you vote in Malcolm X?
I write in my two candidates ever since I was 18 years old.
I might end up doing it this year too, Brother Brown. And do black people care enough for themselves and others in order to really make a change? Those are some of our questions tonight. And so we were talking about seniors paying for Medicare, paying for health care. 11 other countries offer free health care and free college tuition. And 58 other countries offer free healthcare. Before we jump back in, if you guys let me share this tidbit, because I've been meaning to share this for a few weeks. Do any of you recall who Anita Alvarez is?
Anita Alvarez was the prosecutor in Chicago who did not want to prosecute that man, Jason Van Dyke, who killed Laquan McDonald. Made a big news flash because it was, you know, similar. It was similar to Mike Brown shooting. Little boy was just shot in the street. Wasn't doing anything but walking away. And so this is a little boy. Delta, you should remember this one. This was the one, he was a foster child. He was in the foster.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, she lost her seat, though, didn't she?
She lost her seat. She lost her
to a black lady.
Ready to mention. She lost her seat, and that, so voting and people organizing, that was a result of people voting and organizing in Chicago. They did vote her out. So I'm glad to see that people did use the power of the people, and they voted her out. The same thing they should have done with Angela Corey. And then another one, black folks waking up. Black folks and people are finally, it's about time. We've been waiting on you. Welcome. Welcome to the revolution. We've been waiting on you for so long. But anyway, Tim McGinty in Ohio, he didn't want to prosecute that officer. I think his name was Lowman, I believe. The one that shot and killed little baby Tamir Rice. So the voters voted him out as well. So when we get together and we get informed and we get information.
In Texas, they got him out. When did they vote him out?
Yes. This past election, whenever they had their election there. And, let me see. When was it?
They got rid of him, too.
They got
Thank
rid of
you.
Him, too. They got
yes,
rid of him.
That's good.
They got rid of him just a couple weeks ago, around the third week of March. That's when they had their election. Yep. So they've been booted out. Yay!
When we get together.
Bye.
When we
that's
get
a
together.
That's a shout-out victory there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes,
and
it is.
I think that
so
the young
long.
People, I think that the young people organized what they called a Bye Anita. You know, like they say, Bye Felicia. They had a Bye
yeah!
hashtag
Whoa!
Campaign, and they voted her out. And that's the way to do it. So I want to just really applaud all the organizers from one organizer to another. I want to applaud them for getting that together. Let me get my little hand clap. Yeah, baby. Mm-hmm. All right. They did that by Anita.
I like that.
Exactly. All right, so Brother Brown and Aja were sharing with us about their Medicare experiences. And feel free to jump in or call in. Delta, Icy Hot, on the line if you want to share some thoughts on your experience. So, Brother Brown, you were sharing, and Aja?
Yeah, I was saying that when I was in England, I was an emergency seaman, and that was the first time I ever witnessed socialized medicine when I was in England.
Oh,
I got to my emergency room visit. There was no bill. And I asked the doctor, who's going to pay for this? He said, in England, nobody pays for health care. So that's socialized. That's real socialized medicine. What Obama used, people thought it was socialized medicine, but it's not. It's given the health care. It's a certain percentage of how to actually go from one plan to another plan, but the people that are supposed to be the recipients of it, they never receive actually free medical care. The only way you get medical care is if you're on the welfare or something like that, and you get state-assisted medical funds through Medicaid. Other than that, there is no free health care.
Okay.
State of Maryland has a medical plan up here, especially in the rural area that I live in which the county has what they call three lower short of medical care, and people that don't have income, you can go in there and be treated and receive medication, and you don't pay anything. But that's just in the state of Maryland. It really doesn't apply to everybody, and if you do have a slight income, then they have a scale that they scale you down based on what your income is.
That's what they have here in Texas up until the Obamacare went in. Well, they still have it. They just basically, the scale just went up. The scale just went up because they still do have the gold card where you don't have to pay anything for your insurance. You may pay $3 when you come to see the doctor, or the highest would be $10 to see the doctor. But they have that here in Texas, which is really, really good. That's what I got kicked off on for the affordable health care.
So somebody under 65, they could still apply for the gold card and be treated using their gold, have health care through the gold card. But the price
their salary, the salary has to be like really, really just practically penniless, because they still have it. But I think I don't know what the poverty level is now. I think it's pretty low, but I think you would have to be below the poverty level
in order to just not pay anything with your gold card, any fees whatsoever. Okay.
If they still have it, I think they do still have it. I'm just not on it.
The gold card.
Right.
Okay. We need to look that up then to just see and compare. Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah. Can I talk about that prison pipeline, if you don't mind?
Sure.
Okay, if you don't mind. Okay, you know what? I was just sitting here looking at the news just now, and they brought up a thing right here in Mississippi, in Stone County. They saying that they had took, now listen, they took 30 prisons away, the DMC, I may not be saying it right, but they took 30 prisons away. And those 30 prisons was bringing in $80,000 a month. And did you, well, no, y'all can't hear it. This stupid fool says on TV, he said the jail can't make it if they don't have prisoners up in there. So this is what they're doing. They deliberately going around and getting prisoners for any little thing to keep their jobs and things going. They talking about they had to lay off 5 sheriffs because they ain't got no prisoners. They only got 200. And they only supposed to have 200, but they had 270, and they gonna lose $80,000 a month. And they got to lay off these 5 white men because they ain't got no job to be standing over black folks telling them what to do.
Well, that's where they've been building a lot of those prisons anyway, in a lot of rural areas.
And they just built this one. They just built this one and added
jobs.
On. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they have to.
And so, people got to wake up. I wish there was a way that people can wake up and start really paying attention and see, bring it to, you know, like just start, like Black Lives Matter started something. I wish it's a movement that we can start to show that this is what they're doing. And Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, I learned this by paying attention this year. I did not know this, but I'm paying attention. And Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton sent more black folks to jail under that law that he signed. He sent more people to jail, and they was proud of it.
Well, yeah, they invest in corrections. So they set up a business for them to make money, essentially. They made sure that black people, period, would be funneled into the jail system so that their investments would grow. I mean, these are the questions. I mean, this is what they do. So, I mean, it just doesn't surprise me, and they've been doing things like this since they've been in Arkansas. Those of us that, you know, are close to Memphis, we kind of know about the Clintons. We're knowing about them. So it's not, it's just not a real
surprise to me on anything that they do. So that's just them. And a lot of other politicians. I mean, it's not just the Clintons. Has anyone heard anything more about the Panama Papers? Now some American executives are now being named in these Panama Papers. And so some more heads are going to roll. The tables are turning. It's the time of the wicked is over. And things are just changing now. So more people are not, these people are not going to be like Anita Alvarez and this Tim McGinty. These few little police officers that are being ceremoniously arrested. It's just time out for all of that. Nobody's dealing with any of that anymore. These people
on the news today, they had a white lady, and I know y'all probably seen it, pull it up. Well, this white lady was shoplifting. She was shoplifting a pair of shoes, and it was on this TV show called Crime Watch, but they talk about real cases. So everybody, now this is what pisses me off, and Lord, forgive me, Jesus, for talking ugly, and I don't mean it. But this is what makes me so angry. Now this white lady with blonde hair and blue eyes and skinny, stealing a pair of shoes. Now she was stealing a pair of shoes, in which I'm not saying it's right. Is Miss Hattie line open? She sent a text or something by the line.
I just opened Mother Hattie's line.
Oh, okay.
I sure did. Hey, Mother Hattie. I thought I had you open. Yeah. I was wondering why you weren't saying anything on the
Yeah, I've been trying to talk for a long time, but go on.
Okay, and well, this white lady with blonde hair and blue eyes, tiny and cute, pull it up on Crime Watch. She steals these shoes. The police take her now, wrestle her down to the ground, and which he did. He handled her real rough, I must say. Bust her head open, and I must say, y'all, the blood was just gushing everywhere. And the black lady that was on the old J. Simpson team, that she was talking about it today. She one of the top 50 lawyers in the nation. And they had her on there talking. And she was saying that it was too rough. So why they don't say nothing when it's black women? They do black women. They've been doing black women like this for the longest. But now everybody's getting on board about this white woman who's a shoplifter. And he handled her too rough.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that the security guard handled her too rough and what? She fell on the ground and has a head.
No, he knocked her to the ground. Like he took her and then literally like kind of flipped her and hit her and didn't knock. You know, he was beating the hell out of her, basically saying,
okay,
he's my friend, but he was beating her. But what I'm saying is, they've been doing it to black women, just like Sandra Bland and other people for the longest. Now everybody, the white woman ain't dead. She was bleeding good. Now don't get me wrong, she's bleeding real.
I don't care if she was bleeding out of every orifice. They killed plenty of black girls coming out of Walmart.
About her. It's a big uproar about
her. Okay, let me just make a point and then we want to kind of get back on the topic.
Okay.
There are plenty of young girls that steal diapers out of Walmart and they shoot them in the neck and shoot them in the head and kill them. So I don't care nothing about this white lady bleeding or anybody bleeding, their head bleeding, somebody's getting upset about it, because there's been a lot of people that have been killed shoplifting in stores, dealers. When I used to work in Memphis, and Aja, you can speak on this, they used to beat many people, shoot many people, stealing in Dillard's. I mean, Dillard's faced a lawsuit because people had to sue Dillard's because they were racially profiling black people coming in Dillard's. As they came in the store, they had this little code. And then they would tell the salespeople to watch the black people. And it was so
so blatant and so egregious and disrespectful that the black people would just, they would turn around and say, why are you following me? I can buy what I want to buy in here. You just follow me around. I mean, it was pure harassment.
It was the whites that were actually doing the stealing.
And it was the whites that were, because I used to work there. I remember.
Me too.
It was the white people stealing. It was the young white girls, and it was the old white women. I used to even see them old 75, 80-year-old white women stealing. And the young white girls stealing bathing suits. Yes.
Yes.
Saw this with my own eyes. Plenty of us. So, but I think Mother Hattie wanted to jump in. She had a comment. I thought I had your mic open, Mother Hattie. So, my apologies. Share your comment or your thoughts.
Oh, I was just gonna comment. You were asking about and the healthcare piece, and Brother Brown was stating how it worked here. But one of the things that I noticed since I retired and I'm on the Medicare plan, because that seems to be all you can really buy now, you can get on that healthcare plan. The other ones really won't take you unless there's some exorbitant rate that they will give you, and then you get the supplemental, like Asha said, it's $129 a month, which, but then there's this whole other piece around who you can go to, because I had a doctor before I got on the Medicare plan that I liked and I was going to for some healthcare issues, and I can't go to her anymore. And I told them, I said, well, I'll just pay out of pocket. And this was the quencher, the kicker to me. They said, no, you can't pay out of pocket. So even if you can afford to pay for it, they're not letting you go to the providers you want to go to on Medicare here in the state of Minnesota. I don't know how that works, but in other words, no, you can't pay for her. They have what's called, with the new Obamacare plan, Affordable Care Act. And I was all for it. I mean, I rallied around them for it, and it didn't turn out the way I thought it would either, because if you have some money and you want to pay for them, and these people are telling you, no, you can't pay for them. And so they have this tool of measure that they go on that is something around highly qualified practitioners, and so they have to have this, and this. Well, basically, if you have a healthcare provider and you're comfortable with that person, why would you want to go to somebody else who they're telling you is higher qualified than this person that you really have had the success with? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because I already know that other person that they're trying to send me to is not going to be an advocate for my healthcare needs like this person was over here. Because that lady was down for the cause. And why she's not considered highly qualified is some BS. So, I say that to say this. It's still a whole big feature also in the plan around who you can see. And if you say, I don't want to see them, none of these that you have here, and you say, well, okay, I'll just pay for it out of pocket. You still can't pay for it out of pocket. Well, no, we can't let you do that. I say, well, if you're on Medicare, you can't do that.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes, I have to be leaving this state, get my health care then, like I've done before. Yes.
Medicare has a lot of restrictions. A lot of restrictions.
Yeah.
And a lot of hoops and things you have to jump. I mean, that donut gap. That they talk about. I mean, it's crazy. And they keep coming up with these different plans. Instead of just one plan, you got A, B, C, D, and E now.
And you do.
And that's the last thing.
Yeah. They don't even understand them, I don't think.
I was getting ready to say, they don't even the way they explain it, it's confusing.
I have called. I've called to ask questions about it, and I don't even think some of the people that are working there can explain it. I said, well, so it means that, no, that's not what I'm saying. It's really bizarre.
Yeah.
That is. I know, like I said, when I had to study that information for a test, it was just like, it was crazy. And I finally resigned myself to, seriously, I said, okay, well, if a question on Medicaid and Medicare and all of this comes up, I just got to, I'm going for C. You know, they tell you go for C on the multiple choice if you don't know. I can't grasp it. I can't. No. And more than that, it's really a mental block. I don't want to grasp it because it's nonsense. It's not that I can't. It's just, it's nonsense. Wow.
It is. It's nonsense. Why? It really, really is. I try to ignore that affordable health care as long as I possibly could. I try to say, you know, no, you're not going to force me to get on that insurance. No, I refuse to. Just find me, you know. But when they drop me from the gold card and then send me this other little notice saying, well, we will help you find something else, you know. Come by this day, which is a good thing I did, because what I found was the most reasonable under the Affordable Health Care Act, it was going to be $90, okay? This is extra $90 that I wasn't having to pay before. But since I went to this little sessions that they had to help you find it, they said that we may be able to help you find some money to help you pay for it. So luckily they found some money, so they were going to pay half. So I was only going to have to pay $45. But my sister-in-law was paying about $300 under this affordable health care thing. $300 a month.
And I'm sure when she was working at as a nurse, she was not paying $300.
No!
Mhm. So she's paying more.
Yes.
Than she's ever paid. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Yes.
I have to be
for the same from the same coverage.
Right now.
Oh my God. As I say, love your body. Take care of your body. Take care of your body now.
Take care of
people
your body.
People who got some, your 40s or what have you, take care of your body so you won't be on all that medication. Medicare is going to eat you up.
Well, before we take a break, I want to play a little comedic, what they call those little viral auto-tunes. Yeah, they say you know that you've hit it big, like when you go viral, when you start having an auto-tune, like, what's her name? Mm. Oh, my God, it's a fire.
Oh, yeah.
Who was that? Sweet Georgia Brown, when she had her auto-tune, when she went viral. So
that's what that's called.
This is just a quick little viral auto-tune in light of this crazy foolery.
About her secret email server and falling poll numbers follow her everywhere. Hillary is unleashing inflammatory attacks.
I want to unleash a massive law enforcement effort, including perhaps National Guard and others, to go and literally pull people out of their homes and their workplaces, round them up, put them, I don't know, in buses, boxcars.
The Democratic Party needs major reform. The Democratic Party needs major reform. We have an economy that's rigged. 47 million people living in poverty. We have a corrupt campaign finance system. Where millionaires and billionaires are spending money to buy elections. The real issue is that Congress is owned by big money, big money. The real issue is the Democratic Party needs major reform.
We need a president who can do all aspects of the job. I understand that this is the hardest job in the world. I prefer prepared and ready to take it on.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
And back to the Lotus Place Radio Show here on this Wednesday night, 4/6/2016, April, a beautiful month, my birthday month. Please send all of your gifts and presents to my PayPal. The Lotus Place Radio Show. We need some radio equipment. So send your donations to the Lotus Place Radio Show at Gmail. And also donate to Black Talk Radio Network, because this is how we're able to be here with you and you here with us here at the Lotus Place, sharing, caring, and inspiring, motivating, and all of that, educating, agitating. All of that, moving you to some thought and action. So, yes, we talked about our messy Medicare prison, school to prison pipeline. And thank you so much. Thank you so much, Feather, for putting that information together. We really should talk more about it, because I think that it's something that, I just think it's important. We should keep healthcare on the table and the issues that seniors are facing around healthcare and not being able to have just universal healthcare, just free healthcare.
Right, and it's so, it make it so difficult. Why make them go through so many changes, so much red tape?
when they're in need, at the most, they're seniors. So
right.
Anyway, so any more thoughts on messy Medicare and Obamacare? We'll pick back up on that. Let's talk a little bit about our environmental racism. That's Mother Hattie's forte and area. Did you want to share a comment? Any closing thoughts? Moving on. How we feeling? Yay!
I'm seeing a resurgence in the whole environmental justice movement, because there was a lull in it for a while, and it became so insidious, because how can you talk about all of the fracking that these people are doing, these corporations are doing, and then all of the problems that we've had, even, you know, the weather, and things died down for a minute, and it was a way, it was suppression, more or less. But if anyone wants to know, and I guess I have to stop talking, I'm losing my voice again, the Sierra Club has a lot of information about environmental justice. And as I was telling you the last time, Dr. Robert Bullard, who's over in at Texas Southern now, he's the father of the environmental justice movement. And he wrote a book called Dumping in Dixie, and where he talks about pretty much a lot of the factories that have been cited and have ruined communities. They are located in the South, and that's what they do, is the people are kind of unsuspecting and they want these jobs, and they'll do anything to have these corporations come in there and do whatever they want to do to the environment. Some of them have been moved now, of course, to Mexico, and they're ruining the environment of Mexico. It's awful what they've really done, and then suppress whatever it is that needs to be out to the public, and telling the public health risk of all of the different things that are being put in the water, and even as far as the chemicals in the water that supposed to clean the water, and the fluoride, it has just awful health risk. But
certainly
have bought into it, like they're gonna help your teeth to be stronger. It's the biggest lie they've ever told. All that fluoride is because the people, during the building of the atom bomb, they had all of this leftover stuff, and then they just wanted to use it. That's where it originated from. Figured out a way to make money. It's all about money and capitalism. It's certainly about, it's not about people's health.
No.
Or teeth.
In looking for just some images for the show the other day, I came across this one with a sign, and it said on there, like 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom home for rent, contaminated water. So, I mean, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, we're going to rent you this place. But, you know, you're sitting on contaminated water. Your children will be sick. You're going to have birth defects. Anyone, you know, becomes pregnant while living here and consuming and bathing, living with this contaminated water. It's like whatever. Insert.
But you're still going to have to pay for it.
But you still got to pay for it.
Yeah. Like pay to die.
Like the state of Michigan trying to force the people in Flint to pay for some poisonous water. And they were actually going to get away with that.
Yeah.
And thank goodness that those people and other people complained and made it known.
Right.
Not only did you poison these people. So.
They were forcing them to pay, putting them out of their homes and everything.
Yeah, giving them notices. Yeah, giving them notices. Let me just play this quick clip here on explaining what environmental racism is or environmental injustice. And before I go into this clip, though, there is a woman, I can't call her first name, but her last name is Cascadatus. So she and 3 of her other activists, environmental activist brothers, were shot in Honduras. Now, they've been working, fighting against these eco-terrorists there that are trying to run all of this whatever through their land and take over their land and pollute the land. And so this woman was assassinated. This was an assassination. And so I think it was today, Wednesday, maybe Sunday, I'll play a clip on like her life and what actually happened with her. And she points to, I'll say, certain entities that were involved. All you have to do is just connect the dots, follow the money. Follow the money, as they say. Follow the money, who's behind what projects that are trying to take over or consume, and what lands and territories, and you'll know like what it's all about. But so this woman was fighting environmental injustice there
in Honduras, and they were shot and killed. Well, she was killed. No, it was her and, yeah, her and another partner. One partner survived. And she had just finished teaching, like, a class on organizing and being an active person in the whole environmental fight that they have going on there. And so she and some of the, what they call, I think, like, African Honduras people, they were all working together there fighting against these eco-terrorists. And this is so real, how when these people can go to somewhere like the Amazon, and then they take a seed that these people have been using for thousands of years, and then they bring it to the U.S. and put a patent on it, and then they go back and tell those people, you can't use this seed anymore because I own it. But this is their seed that was on their land that you came and land on. It's just not right. It's just absolutely not right. I'm sorry. I just went on my little tangent. So let me share this one.
Well, you know, they think they own everything.
It's thievery. They
take it. They take it by force.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Manifest destiny. That's what they call it.
Right.
They claim it, name it.
They will create words to fit what they need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me just share this clip. Environmental racism explained.
When we think of racial injustice, we think police brutality or the criminal justice system. But what about our air and water? Environmental racism. It's about policies and practices that discriminate against communities of color by making them live near landfills, sewage plants, and other polluting facilities. And while poverty has a lot to do with it, the leading environmental justice expert told me this.
Racism trumps class. Even middle-income African Americans are more likely to live in more polluted neighborhoods.
In fact, one study found that Black Americans making $50,000 to $60,000 a year are more likely to live in polluted neighborhoods than white Americans who make just $10,000 a year. Flint, Michigan is a textbook case of environmental racism. It's where 100,000 residents have been poisoned with toxic water contaminated by high levels of lead. Why? Because the state was trying to save a buck. Flint is around 57% Black, with 40% of its population living in poverty. Residents protested the dirty water for over a year, but were ignored. And that's how environmental racism plays out. Minority communities have much less political clout, so regulators can, and often do, ignore them. And not far from Flint is Detroit, where 83% of the population is Black. It's home to the most polluted zip code in Michigan.
Zip code is the most powerful predictor of health, and all communities and all zip codes are not created equal.
Southwest Detroit is surrounded by a lot of industry, like salt mining, steel production, tar sands oil refining, and coal burning. And that's meant that 1.6 million pounds of chemicals enter that community yearly. Not coincidentally, Wayne County, where Detroit is, has the highest number of children's asthma cases in the state. But look, environmental racism isn't just a Michigan story. It's an American story. Take, for example, Louisiana's Cancer Alley, an 85-mile stretch along the Mississippi River. It's known for its over 200 petrochemical plants and a high rate of cancer, mainly among Black residents. So is there anyone protecting folks from environmental racism? Well, there's supposed to be. The Environmental Protection Agency has a special department called the Office of Civil Rights. But in its 22-year history, the office has never formally found a single case of discrimination. In fact, more than 90% of communities that make complaints find them rejected or dismissed. On top of that, The Guardian newspaper recently revealed that U.S. authorities across the country are deliberately distorting water tests in cities like Detroit and Philadelphia to minimize the reported amount of lead in the water. Environmental racism, while not always the most visible form, is also widespread. So when is enough enough?
Thank you.
there's this phrase that you might hear in the news sometimes, the school-to-prison pipeline. It's shorthand for how schools are funneling students, especially black students, into the criminal justice system. It started in the 90s when schools responded to fears about crime with zero-tolerance policies, which mandated suspensions and expulsions for certain violations. They also cracked down on little things, like talking back or uniform violations. The hope was that it would keep bigger problems from bubbling up. But as a result, out-of-school suspensions have doubled since the 1970s, and they keep increasing, even though juvenile crime rates have now been dropping for years. Around the same time, the number of police officers stationed full-time inside schools has increased by a third between 1997 and 2007. Ostensibly, they were there to prevent mass school shootings like the one at Columbine, but they end up being a way for schools to basically outsource discipline to the police. Schools with officers have five times as many arrests for disorderly conduct as schools without them. Sometimes, the results are shocking. But the less visible effect is that schools are feeding the racial disparities in the criminal justice system. Consider the fact that schools are more likely to have an officer on their campus if the student population is more than 50% black. You might assume that that's because there's more crime at these schools. But although students at police schools are more likely to be arrested, they're not actually more likely to be charged in court for weapons, drugs, alcohol, or assault, at least according to one study. During the 2010-2011 school year, one in six public school students in the U.S. were black, but they accounted for one in three arrests at school. Same goes for other forms of school discipline. Black students are suspended or expelled three times more frequently than white students. It actually begins in preschool. 18% of preschoolers are black. But of all preschoolers suspended more than once, 48% are black. Studies show that differences in behavior can't fully account for these disparities. Black students and white students are sent to the principal's office at similar rates, but black students are more likely to end up with a serious punishment. One study found that white students are more likely to be suspended for provable offenses, like smoking or vandalism. Black students are more likely to be suspended for subjective offenses, like talking back or insubordination. Students who are suspended in school are more likely to later drop out or get arrested, so the federal government is asking schools to make suspension and expulsion the absolute last resort. In Oakland, California, public schools are trying something called restorative justice, where both parties in a conflict talk it out with a counselor instead of relying on punishment. The results are pretty encouraging. In the last 10 years, chronic absenteeism is down, and graduation rates are up in the schools that have tried it. Other cities and districts are also trying new policies. They're hoping that if their students end up in the criminal justice system, at least it won't be because the schools push them there.
Okay, that was just a lot of information, but I just have this quick question, though. Do any of you think that the actual letter grade submitted should be, that whole system, do you think that it should be eradicated? Do you think that it should be changed in some way? Because some schools don't administer, like, grades. It's not like an A, B, C, and 79 or 98 or anything like that. What do they do? Just give a report on how they're doing? I don't even think it's just even a pass or fail. I was about to say I think it's a pass or fail, but I don't even think it's a pass or fail.
Some of them go with standard of what they call these outcomes, and they'll say the person has completed it, or they are developing, or they are almost there, or they need improvement on it. I've seen some grading like that, as well as the pass and fail. I think there needs to be graded. I don't think that should be kicked to the curb necessarily. Because what it does is allows, here again, nobody to be responsible. When the children are not. And it's just a way to let the people that are supposed to be responsible off the hook. So, I kind of like the thought of grades.
You look total grave. What about you, Delta or Aja? Heather?
I think so too. I would like the grades too.
You would like the grades? Mm-hmm. There are 10 colleges without letter grades. What do you think, Feather? Grades? No grades?
Well, I would kind of like to know how I'm doing. I just I'd have to give that some thought. I've just always known grades, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind
yeah,
of,
I think it would
some kind of
like
progress, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. To show progress.
I'm analytical, and I kind of like want to know where I'm going. I kind of need something like what am I aiming towards? So, like, I guess because we all grew up in the system, so I need that point system. I need to know, like, okay, so what am I supposed to try to do? I mean, I don't know, but that's just kind of how I look at it. Oh, my goodness. Let me share Delta's letter. Delta, are you ready for your letter?
Yes, I'm ready and awake, too.
Okay, all right. All right, Delta. Delta, this is a pretty good one here, if I could just get back to it. Okay, and I think that we could, like, actually have a couple of shows on just on this letter. So this is a young lady. She's calling herself Angel. She's calling herself Angel, Angel with Wings. Okay. So she says, hello, Lotus Place and Delta Cougar. I have a serious question for you. And this could affect my life and the steps that I will take next in this course with this relationship that I am in. I am a 36-year-old woman with one child, and I think that I've met a wonderful man that I would love to possibly spend the rest of my life with. Delta, he gets along with my child, and he has a son, and our children both get along together. We live separately. I don't believe in shacking. I am from the South, and I don't want to shack, so we are actually waiting until we get married before we start spending the night with each other, although we go out of town occasionally on trips together, but we do a lot of things with the children, and people always look at us and think that we're a family. When you look at us from the outside, Delta, you would think that everything is absolutely perfect, but when we get behind closed doors, sometimes we have intense arguments about why he will not attend church with me. I've told my girlfriends about him and some of the ladies at church, and I keep inviting him to different events that we have, but he will not come. He has come once, as he said he would, to support me, but he said that that was it, and he's just not into going to church. So, Delta, my question is to you tonight, what should I do about him? Should I keep asking him to attend church with me when he is adamant about not attending church? Or should I just break up with him and say he's just not the man for me because I want a Christian man? I want a man that will be able to go to church with me on Sundays. So what should I do, Angel Wings?
Only
Angel
thing
getting
her
way.
I can say is we have warning signs way ahead of time, and we think we can fix it, and we can't. And what you see is what you're going to get. And if you put a ring on it, it ain't going to make it no better. Then he'll show enough clown. Then he feel like you ain't going nowhere. But if going to church is very important to you and you want your mate to go with you, and this one is adamant that he's not going, you need to leave running. Unless you come to a conclusion, you can live with him not going with you. Because that's a hard pill to swallow when you get up every morning, Sunday morning, and go to church. And you got a husband and he don't go with you. That's a hard pill to swallow. So I don't even think she should even go down that road. Unless she can accept, I'm not gonna worry about it. Mm-hmm. But sound like already, it's already bothering her.
It does
sound like it's already bothering her.
And but you know what?
She thinking mm-hmm. she can change him.
Yeah. I don't think she should force him to go to church with her because I've read several articles. I think people have even written books on this topic. How is the black church keeping some women single? Because they're so caught up, well, so many layers to it, what they speak on. And is it keeping black men away from them? Because there's so many things with the whole Jesus thing that black women have. And for some black men, it's a turnoff. That's the theory and the argument.
Well, you might not agree with me on this one. White man is in the church mm-hmm. with his family. The majority of them, I'll say 95% of them just about are in church on Sunday with their family. A black man is not in church with his family. He's not at the grocery store with his family. He's not at the park with his family, half of them. They riding mm-hmm. around with their friends and doing everything else, but family is not first. And that's
ooh,
where we
you
make
know
a
what?
Mistake.
Those Mexicans, I got this, you know, I have to give it to them. Especially
Mexican
here in Houston.
Very
oh my God.
Oriented.
Oh,
they
yes.
really are.
They will put together a little cookout. You'll start
yeah.
everybody. I mean, like
yeah.
the whole family and cousins, everybody.
They
bringing
do. They are very
something.
Family
they have their
oriented.
Little potluck.
Yes.
I have to give it to them.
I
see
have
them in the park.
You absolutely correct, Black Rose.
Yes.
I have one that live right across the street from me.
Uh-huh.
And they get together on Sunday.
On Sunday and Saturday. Yes, they do.
Not too much on a Saturday because they work a lot, but on that Sunday,
mm-hmm.
you're going to
mm-hmm.
see about five or six cars come over. And
mm-hmm.
they're going to come with their kids and their grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to spend time together.
Yes.
Let's go back here. Let's go back into this letter real fast for our time.
Okay.
See,
this
is where we make our mistake as young women.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be sure that you can deal with this.
Okay.
And if you're not sure, you need to leave it alone. And the letter already speaking plain as day, she's not sure. Because she's saying that if she didn't have a problem with it, she wouldn't even write the letter. She'll go on and do her thing. So she are having a problem with it. And so I think you don't have to go to church every time the door opens. But a real man ought to want to go with his family sometime. A real man ought to want to be with his wife and family.
But what if he said he don't like going to church, though?
Well, that's not for you. If you like going and he don't like going, she's going to be miserable.
So she needs to either
She needs to leave. No, but it's true. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. People don't believe it. It is. When one person wants to do one thing and another person wants to do another thing, that's a miserable life.
That is.
It'll go on for a while, but after a while, that dog get old.
That dog don't bark no more. Mm-hmm.
She don't need the man, she needs to leave running.
Leave running, or either just accept the fact that he is not going
to. That is correct.
And it is.
But you know what? This letter is a good idea. Why so many black women and black people are single? That's a good question to ask. Why? Because we as women, that's a good topic. We need to do a show on that one. Because we have a reside. We're going to accept whatever goes. Because if he can go over here and be with you, and he can go over here and lay with me, and this one and that one, when he get ready, he don't need to marry neither one of you because he already doing what married folks are doing.
Okay. Well, you know what? We'll be back on Friday, and I want to highlight the brother who decided not to sell his black dating app. It's called, what is the name of his app? His app is called iDate. I think that's the name of his app. No, Real Black Love. You can download that app on your phone. It's called Real Black Love App.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was offered $1 million for his app.
Really?
And he said nope because he found love on his app and he wants to keep the app so that he
so
can
what
help
did he
us.
Do? He set it up?
He created an app and it's called Real Black Love. You can download it right there on your iPhone there, because I know you have love there with Papa. I'm just saying you can download it on your phone, go to your little app thingy, and bam, download Real Black Love app and find
love. Well, I see it. I'm getting it right now.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about on Friday. Finding love. Getting some love. That's what we're talking about.